How many of you have found yourselves on a social media video spiral or a YouTube video spiral? You're like, I'll give myself 10 minutes, and before you know it, 45 minutes have gone on, and you're like, oh, now I'm late. Is it just me? I didn't think so. Number one cause of being late to work. But this also leads me to ask you guys another question. What is driving you? What is it that makes you do the things that you do, say what you say, respond in the way that you respond, whether verbally or non-verbally? Because our facial expressions do tell you something. For most of us, the answer is the same thing. It is our thoughts that have become our beliefs that have now put forth the actions that we're now taking or causes us to say the things that we say. Those thoughts can drive us to do what's considered acceptable, but those thoughts can also have us walk out the plans of the enemy if we submit to them. In our Wisdom in the Wilderness series, we established that each of us are leaders, whether that is in our home, in business, in the workplace, in the classroom, in a department, in an organization. Each of us has been placed in a position that God can use us to lead and grow the kingdom. Pastor Jen reminded us last week that we are citizens of heaven, and we are to take that citizenship into the places where God has placed us. Correct?
Correct.
All right, so what do we need to do so that we are able to do so? You guys are all on edge. You guys ready to read with me? You have your reading voices on? You don't have to, Annabelle. It's fine. All right, read with me Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and let us run with all right, if you're like me, you read that and you were like, I don't run. All right, but on a serious note, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's the great hall of faith, right? And it ends with talking about those who never received what they were promised because God had planned something better. They are the great cloud of witnesses. But then scripture goes on to say, then let us throw off everything that hinders us so that we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here's where it was challenging for me. It's not just some of the things, the convenient things that hinder us, but everything that hinders us. We can't run anyone else's race, but many of us are hindered and entangled by our thoughts, okay? And it's an individual thing. Some of us, it is, it's what's been spoken over us. For some of us, it's the lies that we believe. Those things are hindrances to us. And many times we carry them around like a ball and chain, weighing us down, dragging us down, slowing us down. I would, but that was a Holy Spirit moment, and I can't re-pull it. All right. So what is God calling you to that your response is, but Lord, I can't. Fill in the blank for whatever that is for you. In this, I think of Moses, who was convinced God couldn't use him because of his speech. I think of Isaiah, who proclaimed that he was a man of unclean lips. Abraham and Sarah, who decided to take things into their own hands to fulfill God's promise because it wasn't happening in their timing. Elijah, who struggled with depression. Jeremiah, who is known as the weeping prophet. Thomas, the doubter. We have so many examples in scripture that show us man in their flaws, essentially. And yet we tell God, but I can't. And all that, God used each of them just as he wants to use you. God has marked out the race for each of us, but we need to be a willing participant. You see, God will not strong arm us at all. He is gentle and kind, and he invites us in to what he has for us. Because you are in this auditorium today or online, there's a part for you to play to move the kingdom forward. So going back to the 1 Corinthians passage from weeks ago, the hand cannot do what the ear can do. The ear can't do what the foot can do. Each of us have a vital role to play in moving the kingdom forward. And that works by each of us walking in what we were called to do so we can have a fully functional body. So we are going to read the Philippians passage that they did in our video today. But as we do that, I want you to consider your thought life in relation to yourself and when thinking about others. When Paul wrote this to the church, Paul understood that our thoughts impact how we live. So are you guys ready? All right. Children, in their honesty, that's why I work with them. There's no facade. All right. Read with me Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Finally, my brothers and sisters, some of you guys may ask, why does it say finally? And I'm going to be honest with you. This week, I really, really, really wanted to start us at verse 4 in Philippians 4 and take us through verse 9. But I believe that if you, as we start our new series on thinking through it, as in T-H-A-N-K, you guys will find that regardless of life situations, you'll be able to be thankful in it. And those verses will help assist. But Paul tells us to think on what is true. How many of you guys have heard, speak your truth? Stand in your truth. I know, you guys are little, you'll hear it later in life. We often hear this in today's society, to speak your truth, stand in your truth. And I'm not here to discredit anyone's truth, but what I want to shed light on is that when we go through experiences, deal with conversations, there's always our perspective of it and the other person's perspective, correct? All right, so when we go through those experiences, we need to realize that the truth that we believe is happening is often skewed by our perspective and life experiences. So, this is not an excuse for sin or inflicting pain on another person, because wrong is wrong. Understand? Okay. This is not an excuse for sin, wrong, or inflicting pain on another person, because wrong is wrong. But I also want us to remember that hurt people, okay? But there are also consequences to our actions. So we have to remember, there's a lot of dynamics that go into this. So I'll give you an example. When I am tired, frustrated, or emotional, I tend to look through things through my trauma lens. But I actively have to put up what I'm seeing and hearing up against what I know to be true about that person, but also the truth of God's word. Pastors Rick, Jen, and Jessica can all attest that early on we have a lot of conversations where they had to say, we are not the church that hurts you. We are not those people. Because familiar actions and words will trigger memories and create a fight, flight, freeze response. But rehearsing the truth of God's word on a regular basis assist to move out of that response and into the reality so much faster. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. What is the truth that we encounter? What is the truth as we encounter people in our community, whether that's on a daily basis or as we go out to trunk or treat on Tuesday? The truth is, they are created in the image of God. God has a plan for them. God loves them, and Jesus died for them, just as he did for each of us. They may be doing things that you don't agree with. We don't argue, we don't fight, but we do go back to these truths to meet them with the love of God. Paul then says to think on whatever is noble, right, and pure. What is noble? Noble are those things or people worthy of respect. Right refers to that which is fair. One commentary recorded pure as being holy in relation to God. What I love about the Story Lab, when they were approaching this in our mind diet, we were pointed back to the people in Scripture, but then also the people around us who show love to those around them. Guys, we are doing life with each other. It is messy. Can you guys agree? Life is messy. But we are here to do life with you in the good, the bad, and the challenging times. But in this, we are also learning from each other. So I'm going to share. One night, we were in a bridge builder group, and I did not ask permission to share this story, so I'm not going to use names. But we were in a group, and someone was sharing about how they were going through this challenging time. Like, it was literally one thing after another, after another, after another. So you know me, I always have a word for somebody. I got to share my 2 cents. Amber's shaking her head yes, like all the time. No response needed. But I shared with that person, hey, a friend of mine actually has walked through very similar experiences. You should, and they wrote a book about it. You should go check out this book. That person bought the book, read the book, and utilized it as a workbook to walk through the trials that they were facing. So how does that relate to the town of Indian Head? Because some of us get frustrated being here, right? Like, we're in a food desert. There's not a lot to do here. We don't even have a gas station right now as it's under construction. Like, it can be frustrating. But when I think about what is noble and right and pure in the town of Indian Head, I think about Mark and Marilyn Steele. I get frustrated because I have to drive to La Plata to get groceries. That is irritating, especially when you're just one ingredient short of what you want to make. It is a nice hike out to La Plata and a nice hike back. But can I tell you, I often have to hit refresh on my thoughts because Mark and Marilyn, who do not live in this town, mind you, are investing a lot of time, blood, sweat, money, and tears into making sure we are no longer a food desert. That is noble, it is right, and their motives are pure. They see the need in this community, and they are out to reach that need. Their desire to have nice affordable housing in the town is noble, right, and pure. And as one of their tenants, I can tell you it is a blessing to have affordable housing. So I often have to refresh my mind to think on those things that it may not all be here yet, but there is progress happening. We are moving forward. And I can be thankful for the hearts of Mark and Marilyn. That was a little heavy. We doing okay, church? Y'all still with me? Think on things that are lovely and worthy of respect. Lovely is that which calls forth love. Thinking on those things that are lovely for me, instantly thoughts, sunrises, sunsets, and many of you guys know that dear my Jesus loves me sign. It is to the point, even when I see one that's been hit, I am like, all right, thank you, Jesus, you died for me. Like, it's serious. Those things are lovely, with the exception of the roadkill. But people are also lovely and worthy of respect, even in the midst of our frustrations with them. And that is challenging, because people know the right buttons to press when it comes to you as you get deeper and deeper in relationship with them. Each of us, but we have to remind ourselves, each of them, each of us, were made in the image of God. So as people step out of their lane and step into yours, and you're like, please go, get back in your lane, mind your business. When we respond in anger and frustration, it does not help. We need to step back and remind ourselves the person that we are dealing with are created in the image of God. So what can I focus on that they were, that represents God, the image of God? Not always easy either. Sometimes you just have to rehearse. They are made in the image of God. They are made in the image of God. But what I've noticed is when we focus on the flaws of a person, it also magnifies all that's wrong with them. It makes it a lot more challenging to approach them and even have a conversation of correction. But when we remember that they are created in the image of God, we are able to step back, remind ourselves, and then proceed with grace, truth, and love. So Tuesday night, we're going to encounter people with different views, opinions. But can I argue that we take this time as an opportunity to call out the things that we see in people? Like as we're encountering them, you can say, I see that you have a lot of passion, or I see leadership qualities in you. Don't lie to them. But if you see those things, call them out. What would happen if we started doing this on a normal basis, church? We may cause some people to pause and think, but we would also be learning or leaning in to being the peculiar people that we're called to be in 1 Peter. But oftentimes we don't do this because we allow our thoughts to hinder us. They're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm strange. They're going to think. You don't know what they're thinking, church. We don't know.
Yes, I do.
So don't allow your thoughts to hinder you from calling out those attributes. If you've ever been in a coffee shop with me, you know I will call those things out to the baristas and remind them that I love them. And I do occasionally apologize for being weird because I recognize that in myself, and it's okay. But you know, for doing this for over three years now, those young women know I am a phone call or a text away. I get to talk to them about life circumstances. I get to talk to them about school. I get to talk to them about what's happening in their families. I get to pour into them. So maybe, just maybe, if we push past our insecurities, call out the qualities in other people, build relationships, we will have the opportunity to give people another perspective of Jesus. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. This is something I have to continually practice because it does not come natural to me. I am a little bit of a, what is the terminology, bah humbug at times? Yeah. I know, right? So I'm a recovering perfectionist. I like things to go exactly how I have planned them. And when they don't go exactly how I have planned them, I fixate on all the things that have gone wrong, how it could have been fixed, what should have done better. I want to throw it all away and start fresh. It's to the point we were in prayer group a few weeks ago, and I talked about the notebooks I throw away because I've messed up in them, and they're no good. I need to start fresh. Like, Staples knows my number, guys. It's serious. But as I studied this, I was reminded of a little song we used to sing in my Sunday school class. Not with these guys. Sunday school, this is Bridge Kids, completely different. But the words were, it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my heart with a song. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. And like I said, this has not come natural to me. If you want to see the bad, I can tell you all about it. Like, girl, it's serious. But it's a continual work that I have to work on my thought life. But can I remind us, church, who is always excellent and praiseworthy regardless of the situation? Anybody want to guess? Jesus, God is. God is always excellent and praiseworthy. So even when things are messy and we're like, all right, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do with this, we know that we can praise him anyway. He deserves our hallelujah, as one song says. We know that we live in a broken world. So some of the thoughts that we struggle with are the lies that have been spoken over us. As Christ followers, we can no longer say, it's just how I am. When we have been given the truth of who we are and who God says we are in his word, but we need to be in it beyond a Sunday morning. We need to rehearse the truth over and over and over until you believe it. Let safe people in so they can speak truth to you when you are in dark spaces as believers. You guys, that's one area that as believers, we really do struggle to confess that we deal with, is when we are in dark places. The deep throes of depression, we have a hard time admitting this is where I am, because we feel like, well, I believe in Jesus. I should have it all together. I should be praising. Church, we are in a broken world. We struggle. And you know what? Let me tell you, Bridge Church, therapy is not a bad thing. Medication is not a bad thing. Legal medication, don't try to medicate yourself. Let's clarify, because we don't want to leave that open for interpretation. But these are not bad things. They are resources along with the Word of God that help us get to where we need to be. But if you stay quiet about the darkness you are experiencing, you will never get out of it. So what I'm asking, family, is that we be honest about the state that we're in, the thought life, the thought cycles that we find ourselves in, and that we allow people to speak into our life, but we also allow the Word of God to reshape our minds. Are you guys doing okay? I know that one was a little heavy. All right, last one, when you guys read with me, Philippians 4:9, excuse me. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I'm just going to openly admit right now, I'm not always the best person to repeat or receive or follow after, because sometimes this mouth says some off the wall things, and I'm just going to be honest. But I'm honest about it, I'm authentic about it, and I do apologize when I need to. But what you have learned, received, or heard from me and the lead team, do that. Put those things into practice. We are not perfect, but we are continuing to pursue Jesus. As you leave out today, you guys are going to receive a card. And I want to encourage you this week to take some time with God and really pray about what lies you're believing. What lies are putting you in the wrong traffic pattern? Confess to God, then get in his word and find the truth that dispels that lie. Write that down, hang it up, and recite that truth to yourself over and over and over again. So at the end of July, I began dealing with someone, and they had done some things that weren't right. And you know, my mouth gets me in trouble, but we've been really working hard to pray before we speak on some things. But I was in this tug of war of whether to share what was done or keep it to myself. I wrestled with it because I knew that there was very likely, if I said something, there was going to be some retaliation. The enemy kept bringing to mind, like, all the things that could happen if I shared. But one morning, and I can tell you it was in August because of the proverb that it's in, but August 29th, in my quiet time, I read Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Y'all, I wrote that verse down. I put it on my bathroom mirror. I also wrote it down and put it in the place that I would continually encounter this person. For a week straight, I prayed and prayed and prayed, asking for wisdom, but also didn't want things to blow up. So after that week, I went ahead and shared what had happened. Things got ugly for a little bit, but nothing to the extent of where my thoughts had gone. And even now, as I continually pray about that person and the situation and pray for wisdom, y'all, God is faithful because he is continually working it out. Like, in about a month, we are going to have a praise party in here. I'm just going to say it's coming. But it's reciting that scripture, because if we sit and dwell in those places of where our mind takes us, man, those things look huge. They look overwhelming. They look like, I don't know if any of you guys ever seen Problem Child, but that rock that rolls over, it looks like that big old boulder just coming to plow us down. And that's not actually so. So as Pastor Jen comes to pray, church, what lie are you believing that is hindering you from running the race set before you? Where do you need to shift your thought pattern? And who do you see that you can emulate?
Great job, Pastor Mary.
What did you draw?
Great job to our congregation. I watched you guys take that in as all of this was happening. But in verse 9, can you guys put up 4:9 again for me, that last passage? What you have seen in me, put it into practice. Twice a year, we have things be a little challenging in here so that our kids can observe how we worship and how we learn and what we do as we observe them. Can I tell you, you guys, I think you were mostly focused over here, but I was listening to them repeat the things Pastor Mary was saying. I was listening to them repeat and read out the passages and replay those words. And as she said, we have to put into practice what we see people do, they were saying, put it into practice, watch them. And so, again, coming with the heart of a child. And hey, guys, we're going to pray. So can you guys pray with us? As we pray, I want you to picture that mind map that it showed where you replace the negative things with the good things. And I want to challenge us where our minds are being bombarded, not with what is noble, but what is social media junk, not with what is pure, but maybe with some impurity that we need to replace. And in that, we would walk in God's love. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come as a family and to worship together. We thank you for the opportunity to learn from our littles as they learn from us. We thank you for the message and the word, your living word that you deliver through the Story Lab and through Pastor Mary and through the songs that we sing that speak your truths over our lives and speak praise to you, because God, you are worthy. You are worthy. So as we today prepare, spend time after service packing candy and positive messages for our community, as we go out on Tuesday evening into what might not be conceived as a church event, may we be your light and may we be your love. May we speak and see what is true and what is noble and what is praiseworthy. And God, may you not just transform us, Holy Spirit, from the inside, but may we be a witness of what you have done on the inside to a world that needs light and love and truth. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. And the whole church together said, amen, amen, amen. Would you stand and worship with us?